all, welcome back. It is episode 254 of the Late Night Vision Show, and we have one of the most anticipated reviews that we've done in quite a long time. This is a scope that we've been hearing about for a long time. I'm not saying that you're going to remember where you were standing or what you were doing when you heard this review, but it's pretty high up there. And to help me, there's only one person that can help me do a review this big, and that's the owner of Outdoor Legacy, Mr. Jason Robertson. Good evening. What's going on? And are you ready to jump into this thing, man?
I am. And I want to say this, guys.
I'm overselling
Hans.
It. I'm probably overselling it.
He is a great executive producer. He is a great salesman. I think he's overselling. This is a big review. It is exciting, but I don't know that this is exactly like, you know, when Kennedy went down in Dallas. Remember where you're at, or 9/11. I don't know that this is exactly that moment, but I will say this too. And I think this is the truth. Hans said this is one of the most anticipated. Every time we do a review, it's one of the most anticipated for Hans. He gets excited about these reviews, and I do too. It is nice to always have new technology and things coming out in the market, you know, expands and gets further down the road as things improve. And today is another one of those days. Yeah. I'm going to just briefly hold this up here real quick. We'll be looking at this soon. This is the Pulsar Thermion Duo DXP50. Now that's a name. I know it is. The Pulsar Thermion Duo DXP50. We're going to be calling it the Duo. D-U-O, the Duo.
Yeah, the Duo.
And you
sure.
say, well, you know, what is the Duo? What does that even mean? Looks like a Pulsar Thermion to me. And it is. But the cool thing about this is that this is the first of its kind out there, at least that we know of. I'm sure somebody will drag something up that they bought at Sky Mall or something. But as far as we know, this is the first of its kind. It is a dual channel thermal rifle scope, as well as a 4K high resolution digital daytime scope, all built in to one. It is one scope that you can shoot both daytime. Again, I'm saying this, I'm explaining to make sure you're clear. 4K, beautiful full color daytime image, as well as an amazing XP50 pro image that, you know, what we're used to out of the Pulsar Thermions for nighttime. So really cool. We're going to get into all the details and what have you on that. We're going to talk about realistically what this means and how it works, what it will do, and what it won't do. We're going to talk about the pros. We're going to talk about the cons. And so, guys, if you have any interest in this optic and you're not sure if this is the answer to your needs or what you're looking for, I would say stick around, watch this whole review. I promise you there's going to be a lot of good info. We have got three of these things, been out running them in the field for several weeks, and I think we've got a pretty good grasp of what they'll do.
Oh, yeah. So in my excitement, and I think a lot of this you can probably relate to, is the fact that we have been talking about and answering questions about this scope, it seems like since last summer when, they were talking about it over in Europe. And people have been asking about it since then.
Yeah, it was back in the fall. So Hans and I actually had the opportunity to take a sneak peek at this before it was announced.
Yeah, in October. And so, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, in October. So that's so they announced it, I think, maybe in late October, 1st of November. But we got a sneak peek at it one afternoon and one evening to see what it looked like before they had told the world about it. And we were immediately impressed. And we're really excited to be able to, you know, get out there and put it through its paces, which we've done now. And I think you're going to be impressed. And we will have some footage we're going to show through this video. Hans will be posting that up. So if you're interested, just watch. He's going to work that in. I will tell you, our daytime footage is lacking a little bit. We really have tried hard, but, it's spring and there's just not as much stuff going on in the daytime. You know, the hogs don't move quite as much in the daytime right now. The deer aren't moving as much. So we've done our best. We've got a little bit of you know, some, yeah. I think I've got some hog footage. I think we've got some deer footage. We've got some cows, footage. But yeah. We got some stuff for you to look at.
The animals have not wanted to cooperate during the day, but Jason got
not
some great nighttime video with it. And Ashley's been going out and getting some good video. So, you just heard Jason talking about the fact that we've been testing three of these, and that's because every scope review that we do, the first two or three are coming to us to test, and we hunt with them. We hunt with them for a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks usually before we do a review, and this is no different. The reason why we do that is so that when you call, if you have questions about a scope, you can talk to somebody with firsthand knowledge of the optic that you're asking about, not just the optic that you're asking about, but how it compares to all the other optics on the market. That's, I think, Jason, what makes us a little bit different than anybody else. We have probably more support staff than I would say than most companies in this industry, and we do so because of our customer service. So if you are looking to purchase a new night vision or thermal optic, give us a call. Outdoor Legacy Gear, I could say that in right order. Give us a call at 877-350-1818. You can find all of our optics on the website, outdoorlegacygear.com. We'd love to help you out. We'd love to earn your business. And we will continue to do what we need to do to make sure that you call us. And when you call us, you feel like you've gotten the best use of your time. But anyway, we're going to jump into the reviews. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say one more quick thing about that. You know, you mentioned that, you know, we test these things for 2 or 3 weeks, and and that's true. Sometimes we have access to some of this stuff beforehand, like this. We'd already seen it, so we kind of already knew the basics of what to expect. And then when you finally, you know, you get the unit, you're able to go out there. Mm-hmm. And what we've got now is, you know, we've mentioned this on some other shows. We're going to keep bringing it up. There's three of us now. We've got Hans, myself, mm-hmm. and Ashley. All three of us are... you know, taking calls or talking to people. We're all three. This is the big deal. We're all three testing scopes. And so what happens is when you put three of these out there in our hands for say 3 weeks, you got to think about, we're using these 7 nights and these in the daytime as well, 7 days a week for hours times three of us. So there's a lot of combined man hours behind these. And it's very interesting because we share notes. I mean, Hans and I have always done this, and now it's even better with three of us, is we can say, you know, hey, did you notice this? No, wait a minute. Let me try that. Oh, wow. And so it's really, it gives us a lot of total experience with right. these optics, again, to kind of find out what they will and won't do. So we don't want you to think that, I mean, and I'm sure there's you know, probably other people out there that do this. They pop one out of the box, walk out off the front porch, look across the parking lot of their store and go, okay, I've looked through one. All right, put it back in the box. Let's sell them. We're doing way more than that.
It's funny that because you say that, and we've read comments on social media where like dealers will say, took it outside and the gas station across the street looked really clear. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I bet it did.
The gas station, you know, the huge building that's, you know, 50 yards away looked really clear. So yeah, we're doing a little bit more work than that, but we're going to jump right into the specs. Jason, going to change things up. I'm running the specs. Jason's running the walk around. We're going to be obviously talking about our likes and dislikes, running video at the same time, the same setup. These are very in-depth thermal reviews. You know, we a lot of people are like, y'all take too long, but there's guys out there that like it, and there's people out there that wish we were a little bit quicker. But I think the vast majority of people say that the information that we give is very good. So we'll try to hurry now. All right, the price. This is the Pulsar Thermion Duo XP50. The price, $5,799. This is a, so when you heard Jason talk about thermal channel, digital channel, this is considered a nighttime optic. At night, it's got a thermal channel. So it's, just think of a channel as on a TV. You're flipping from one channel to the next, and you're looking at one thing, you switch to another channel, and you're looking at something else. You got a thermal channel, and then you push a button, and then you switch over to a digital channel. So on the thermal side, The resolution on that is 640 by 480. And y'all, basically, this is a Pulsar Thermion XP50 Pro. For all the videos that you've seen, the reviews that you've seen that we've done, you're pretty much looking at very similar specs. So it's a 640 by 480 thermal resolution. On the digital side, it's a 3840, so 3840 by 2160, which is considered 4K resolution digitally. It has an AMOLED display, 1024 by 768 resolution on that, 17 micron, 50 hertz refresh rate. It's got a minus 25 NETD thermal sensor sensitivity rating. So minus 25 NETD, that's what we've talked about in the past with the Thermion Pro sensor and what makes it so great on nights when there's high humidity. And typically when thermal doesn't look that great, that Pro sensor, that minus 25 sensor, does a really good job cutting through some of that noise. The magnification, it's going to be the same on this model between the thermal side and the digital side. They're both start at 2 power and go to 16 power. The field of view is 65 feet at 100 yards. Thermal detection range, Pulsar says 1,800 yards on a human-sized target. I'll just say, okay, I guess I don't disagree with that, and I can't agree with that because I'm not looking at something that far away. But more importantly, even more important than detection range is ID range, being able to tell an ID enamel that you're looking at. So what we would say, and Jason, let me know if you disagree, I would say on the minimum, trying to distinguish between coyotes and small deer, at a minimum 400 yards being in less than ideal conditions, high humidity, some mist, just nights that are not clear and crisp, 400 yards. And that could go up on good nights, clear nights, where, you know, your visibility is very good. I mean, it could be 600 even further,
yeah,
depending on the size of the animal that you're trying to ID. You agree with that, Jason?
Yeah, I think I would just generally say it's a 400, 500, 600 yards. I mean, and you know, the reason the image is so darn good, and I think it gets difficult because what you or I or somebody with experience might be able to do, I mean, you know, might be able to tell, might more than somebody who just picked up thermal for the first time. Mm-hmm. They will eventually be able to tell further. But yeah, I mean, it's really good image. I'm going to say 400, 500, 600 yards, just generally speaking, is very reasonable.
Gotcha. All righty. So the next thing is battery life. The all important question of battery life. Pulsar on their website, if you are looking up the specs, it says 6 hours runtime. We are going to circle back to that, but we did find that generally true. But we have a lot to say about that as well. So stay tuned towards the end for battery life discussion. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Picture-in-picture display. Pulsar has more color palettes to choose from than any other manufacturer I can think of. Reticle options, reticle colors. I mean, there's more color palettes in here than I even care to look at, to tell you the truth.
There's more reticles than reticles.
Yeah, I mean, tons of reticles. There's a lot of guys out there that reticle types are important to them. And there's got so many to choose from that'll make your head spin. Recoil rating on Pulsar stuff, 375 H&H caliber and 12 gauge shotgun. It is IPX7 weatherproof rating. Operating temperatures, minus 13 degrees Fahrenheit up to 122 degrees Fahrenheit. Weighs 34 ounces, loaded with batteries, and it does come with the Pulsar 3-year warranty. And just so you know, in answer to some questions, if there is something wrong with the Pulsar optic, it does not have to be shipped to Europe. It goes to their facility, the Cellmark facility in the Texas, in North Texas. So that's where it would be sent back to. I think that's all the specs. Jason's going to do a walk around on the scope, and then we'll touch on some other things.
All right, here we go. So I'm going to try to show this here, and my microphone's going to be in the way a little bit. This is the unit. Gosh, they're going to hold it up. So again, as you can see here, 30 millimeter tube. This is the standard, Pulsar Thermion body style. So while we're talking about that, I'm just going to go ahead and talk about rings. We'll get this out of the way. This is what we use right here. This is the American Defense Manufacturing Recon Mount. This is the only rings that we use for any 30 millimeter thermal optic out there. Fantastic. You know you're getting the good ones when right there it's got the Outdoor Legacy logo laser etched on it. Then you know you've got the best ones. If they don't have that on there, I can't vouch for them. But no, I'm just teasing. These are fantastic. They are quick detach. They are returned to zero. American Defense Manufacturing is made in the United States. Their mounts have a lifetime guarantee. These are the real deal. A lot of people say, I don't understand why you use this offset mount. Why don't you use the straight up mount? Because this is the most versatile mount. When we were looking for mounts when the Thermions first came out, because they were the first 30 millimeter tube scopes on the market, we tested a bunch of mounts from a bunch of manufacturers, and we had definitely settled on American Defense quickly. But talking to them, we said, listen, you've got tons of mounts. I mean, like ridiculous amount. Like we need to know, you know, they sent us a bunch to test. We're like, okay, we need to know what your suggestions are. Y'all are professionals. And the reason that we use this offset mount is because it's so versatile. On an AR-15 style rifle, you don't need to get extra eye relief because you can collapse your stock and you can get in there close. So with this mount, it actually pushes the scope forward a little bit, and you don't have to mount the scope way forward on your receiver. So it looks really nice. Again, you've got it mounted further back, but the scope is sitting further forward, right where you want it to be. Again, you can drop your scope, and I mean, not your scope, your stock, and get in there close. Now, if you're on a bolt action style rifle or any fixed stock rifle, and you've got you know, you need a little extra eye relief. Now you turn this thing this way, put your scope in it, and it will push the scope back towards the buttstock for proper eye relief. So that's why we use it. It's the most versatile mount. Absolutely love this. They're on the website at OutdoorLegacyGear.com. You can just search for American Defense Recon or American Defense. So we've got a lot of other American Defense mounts. These are the only mounts that we carry for a 30 millimeter tube scope, and they are legit. So that is what we use. I have this scope. I don't have it mounted in them. I just grabbed one here out of the box because I wanted to show y'all without the mount on it today. So that's what I got. All right. So right here, we'll start at the back. What you can see here is this is the rear eyepiece. This is a rubber a diopter focus. This is the eyepiece focus, and it is soft and rubberized. It's also magnetic in the box. It comes with a magnetic eye cup. You can put that eye cup on there if you want to or need to, and it just fits right over that. Again, that is your focus for the eyepiece. Here you will find three buttons. These buttons are going to do everything but from starting and stopping recording, zooming, turning on picture in picture, as well as switching between your thermal and your daytime vision. Moving forward, right here, what you've got is this is a looks like a turret cover, and when you remove this, underneath there is your USB port. I'll explain what that does here in just a second. And then moving to the top, let's see if I can get this off. There it is. This is a battery cover, and this is an APS-2 battery. This goes right in here in the top. That is your removable battery. There is also a non-removable battery sitting in this tube right here. And you can use a longer-lasting battery here called an APS-3. It's a little bit taller. And in the box with your scope is going to come that taller battery cap. So that way, if you choose to buy an APS-3 at a later date, you can put it in there and you've already got the battery cap good to go. All right. So now moving along, we'll move forward. What you see right here, this, you see me twisting that, and then watch, I'm going to turn it around. Right here, same thing on the opposite side. That is a focus for the thermal objective lens. This is ambidextrous, so if you're left-handed or right-handed, you can turn that, and they are, I'm trying to make sure you can see that, they are pinned together, so either side will do that. Moving on forward, we've got the objective lens for the thermal right here. We've got the daytime lens, And I'm going to show you something that's important. This is, I found out this the hard way. Right there. I don't know if you can see this, but here, I'll hold it forward. There is a little lens cover. See, you can see it's closed right now. It's open, closed, open. That's important because I'm the moron who couldn't find that at first. It was like, why could I not see anything? So there's
Jason
there's always
like,
one.
Man, the picture image is terrible on the digital side. And I was like, really? Yeah, mine seems great. And you're like, oh, I didn't have it open.
it was like barely cracked and I could see just a little. It's terrible. So anyway, I'm the moron. Right here, this is your power button. This is on the back of the digital portion that's here on the top. There's your power button. So then coming on back on the other side, this is going to be your menu button. This is a scroll wheel. This is how you're going to get into all your menus and you know, move around inside of there. Okay, so that's the basic walk around. But what I want to mention here is I mentioned this USB. So what that is it's two things. One, you can plug in a USB cable that is provided, and that's how you're going to charge your internal non-removable battery. You will plug that into the wall. You'll plug it into a USB battery pack or into cigarette lighter adapter in your truck. And do they still call those cigarette lighters? I don't know. I'm just showing my age, but yeah, plug that in there and you'll be able to charge it that way. If you want to leave this removable battery in, the scope or that port right there will charge both of those batteries at one time. Mm-hmm. If you want to pull that APS-2 battery out, in the box with the scope is a dual APS charger, dual battery charger. So you can charge two batteries at one time. And so that way, if you buy spares or whatever, you can keep them charged. But I'll just tell you guys, the way I normally do it is I come in from hunting. I lay my scope on like back counter in my laundry room. I plug it in right there. I leave the removable battery in it. I go to bed. I get up the next morning. I unplug it. Both batteries are fully charged. Or maybe I will do that before I go to work in the morning, before I go to the office, come back in the afternoon, they're fully charged. It doesn't take all day to do it. But again, I don't sit around and watch it. So it's just easier for me to do it, put it, you know, forget about it and come back later in the day. So I leave it in there to charge it. But if you had spare batteries and you wanted to plug those into your little dual charger, you can definitely do that as well. All that will come with it. So the APS-2 battery that comes with it, if you'd like to purchase additional ones of those, they're about $80. The APS-3 battery that's a little taller, lasts a little longer, they're about $100. So those are Pulsar proprietary batteries, and those are available for purchase. Okay, Hans, did I leave anything out?
No. In the walk around. No, you did a good job. Now, I'll say this. Okay. We're going to get into likes and dislikes and who it's good for and all that. But I want to make a couple special notes before we get in, because these are not likes and it's not a dislike. But there's going to be the question to come up. In the zeroing process, you must zero the scope for the thermal channel and separately and independently with the digital side. So you're going to have to basically sight it in for the thermal side and then sight it in for the digital side. It does not, just because you sight it in on the digital or you sight it in on the thermal, that zero coordinates does not transfer over to the opposite channel. So it'll ask you, it's very easy to do. It's they make sense out of it. I mean, when you go in to zero it and you save your XY coordinates, let's say for the thermal side, it'll ask you, do you want to zero the digital channel? And so they make it easy, but just so you know, and if there's a question, you must zero both separately and independently.
Yeah, I want to say something to that real quick. So number one, there's some guys that were asking, we've posted a few videos that we've had, and some of the videos show us switching between digital and thermal, like just sitting there looking at animals and switching back and forth. And somebody I noticed in the comments said, hey, the reticles are in a different spot. Something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong. That's just the way that it is. And again, it's not like they're wildly different, but there's just you can just see a little bit of a difference. And so Hans is right. You do have to zero both of them. I want to make clear on this too. It's not just, you don't just take your same coordinates
right,
and move them over to the digital. You need to zero it. Okay. Yeah. You need to zero it both times. No big deal on that. Also, I know this question comes up. A lot of guys that are new to thermal is, do I have to zero it at night? Absolutely not. I've never zeroed a thermal scope at night. So right, you can sit down on the bench in the broad daylight and zero both the thermal and the digital portion at the same time. Another note that I want to make that I think is very important, that I think people need to know right up front. There's a lot of confusion on this, and that is that this is a thermal scope. Okay. This is okay. I wasn't going to go down this trail, but I'll go right now. This is a Pulsar Thermion 2 XP50 Pro image. All right. So if you're familiar with the XP50 image quality, if you've seen our review on that or seen any of our footage, it is just an amazing, fantastic optic that we absolutely love. This image is the exact same image as that. All right. But when it comes to the daytime portion, it is a daytime optic. A lot of guys are saying, oh, the daytime night vision, you know, or that, no, it's not night vision. There's a thermal unit and there's a day vision. And so what happens is, if you're used to something like, say, a Pulsar Digix, you know, that looks like this scope and it's full color in the day and it's black and white at night because it has an IR filter in it. And what happens is that when it comes nighttime, you can flip that filter and you push a button. You don't do it. It flips inside there. And now that digital sensor is capable of seeing infrared light. So you use an IR illuminator with it. This scope does not do this. It does not have an IR filter in it. So the point I'm just trying to get across is, don't think that you're going to put an IR light with this and go out at night and hunt like it's night vision. It does not work. And even though I knew all of this, just because I'm stubborn, I still just could not not try it. I put an IR light. There is. It does nothing. It does nothing at all. There's no IR filter. So again, if there's daytime light, if there's, you know, spotlight, any kind of light, it will see it, but not IR light. So it is, when it gets into, well, we're going to talk more about what it's capable of doing in the you know, low light hours. But when it gets to that point, you will switch to thermal. There's not you're not going to put on an IR illuminator on it.
Yeah. And the other note that I wanted to share is something that Jason already discussed, and that's when you switch over to the digital daytime channel, you got to make sure the shutter's open. So the switch on top, make sure it's open. Yep. If it's not completely open, the picture image will look distorted. Yep. If it's completely closed, it'll just be black. So those are the two side notes before we get into the dislikes. So let's start with the dislikes like we normally do. Get that out of the way first. Jason, I'll let you go first because I think I usually go first, but
You always want to kick this over to me. So, yeah. All right. So let's talk about the dislikes. First of all, I want to say this, guys. Listen to these. Listen closely. These are an honest assessment. When we get through with these, we're going to go to the likes, which is a really long list. We're going to talk about the overall, who it's good for, maybe who it's not good for, what we think about this unit. I'm going to go ahead and give you the sneak peek. We love it. It's fantastic. I am not giving mine up. It is staying on my rifle. I think Hans has kind of said the same thing of like, you're not getting this one back. So I'm going to just go ahead and give you the ending that we really do like it. But I want to bring this up. And if you're a frequent listener to the show, you know there's one thing that we do at the Late Night Vision Show and Outdoor Legacy, and that is we tell you the truth. So we've got a few things that we're not super excited about, or maybe we just wish that, you know, would eventually improve something down the road. I think Hans mentioned it, bringing it up there as well as I did about the IR filter. I mean, so I wish that it was a nighttime optic as well, and not even just for using it at night, but for those low light situations, but it's not. So that is what it is. Mm-hmm. Realistically, I think what you need to understand is that after sunset, okay? I mean, after the sun sets, you know, you've normally got 25 to 30 minutes of legal shooting light. If we're talking about deer hunting or something, most states, that's what it is. With this unit, you're not going to shoot that whole 30 minutes in the daytime vision portion. And hey, anybody knows, if you hunt with good glass optics, that's the benefit of a you know, $1,000 glass optic versus $100 glass optic? What's the difference? And I always say, you know, wait till the first or the last 15 minutes of the day, and that's when you'll find out. Right. And so with this, you're not going to get that last 15 or first 15 minutes. The objective lens right here on this unit, on the digital portion, is just not big enough to bring in the light you need. That's very sensitive, but it's just not big enough to suck that light in. So I would say this, in all of our tests, I feel like after sunset on a, you know, more overcast or partly cloudy day, you've got probably 10 more minutes and then it's going to be pretty much done. You're going to have to switch to thermal at that point. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll kind of get into some of that here in a minute on switching to thermal. You know, there may be some legalities and different things involved in your state you'll have to look up. Right. So again, I hate to just leave it at that because I'm going to come back and talk about the positives on that. But I think that you know, the dusk and dawn, that's something you're not going to get. Now, once you've, again, before sunset or after sunrise and before sunset, image is fantastic on the digital portion. Really, really good. We'll get into more of that. So I would like to see that IR filter added in there eventually. I think that would be something in the future that would be cool. I wish that you could focus the digital portion. That is a fixed focus on that lens. And here's the reason I say I wish you could focus it. I wish you could focus it because I just think everything needs a focus. But I'm also going to say this. I didn't really ever feel like I needed it. Really, really good, whether I was looking at stuff at 50 yards or 250 yards. I was really impressed with how sharp and crystal clear everything was. So I got to say, I want it just because I want to focus on everything, but I didn't see that as a real big negative.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that 100%. So everything you said, I agree with. Let's focus on the battery and the battery test. When we were looking up the specs, we had actually planned to do this show a prior night and we had to push it back because if we wanted to do some additional testing on the battery, because when we looked at the spec sheet for the Duo, it said 6 hours and we're like, there's no way, you know, and the reason why is because we just got off of doing, you know, the Pulsar Thermion 2 XP50 Pro XG reviews or in the XG reviews in the past.
Yeah,
in
XG, yeah.
And those were, you know, close to 10 hours, almost double the runtime of the previous Thermion model. So to see that 6 hours, we're like, oh my gosh, we've got to make sure that this is 100% right. So we went back, did some retesting on it. The battery life that they actually say on the website at 6 hours is fairly accurate. I mean, I think we got pretty close to 6 hours of runtime. The reason why it's a negative is because it's a step down from the Pro models, the Thermion 2 Pro models, which was near 10 hours. This goes down to 6 hours. Why? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate why. I'll let somebody else maybe speculate, but it doesn't change the fact that it is lower.
And I know this question is going to come up, and I'm interrupting you because if I don't say it, I'm going to forget.
Yeah.
We tested it, the internal battery and the removable battery separately. Mm-hmm. And then we went back and did it where if we did it when it was in just thermal mode, then we went back and did it when it was in just digital mode, and the battery life was the same.
Yeah.
We got, I mean, we're talking about within minutes of each other. There was, my opinion would be no change. There's no significant change, whether you're in digital or thermal. So it was a surprise to us. And I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think it was an unexpected coming off of the new battery life on the Pro models.
Yeah. So it was very unexpected. And again, we looked at the spec sheet and like, oh my gosh. Well, so the workarounds, there are a couple options. Maybe they're not ideal options, but you can always buy and have an extra APS-2 or APS-3 battery on standby, you know, have one or two extra in your pocket if you're going to be out all night long. Or the scope will run off of any external rechargeable battery pack. You know, that you'll just have to find a place to mount it on your rifle, but it will power with something like that as well. A lot of times what I do, you know, not to make excuses for it, but the previous Thermion models that were 4 to 6 hours of runtime, it really wasn't that huge of a deal for you and I, Jason. Not just because we weren't out that long every night, which is kind of true. I mean, we weren't out, you know, 7 days a week, 4 or 6 hours a night. But a lot of times on those late nights and you're driving from stand to stand, you can charge it in your truck as you go. So, you know, it'll plug in any USB charger, which you can find, as Jason says, for your cigarette lighter now, and plug it in your scope and charge it on your way to the next stand. But it is a negative. It is a step down from the pro models for whatever reason, but 6 hours is not impressive. But like Jason said, it's not the end of the world.
So yeah, and I'm going to put a wrap on this and say we're just back to where we were. So yeah. It's not like we're in somewhere we've never been before, but we're kind of back to where we were. I'm going to tell you all this, and this is not me just apologizing for this scope, but Hans has had a Thermion since 2019 when the first ones came out, me as well, and multiple models of these things. And I don't know at what point, probably about 2020, 2021, he made some comment, something about a battery. And I said, well, use your spare. And he goes, I don't own a spare. And I was like, what? And he was like, I don't have a spare battery for the Thermion. I've never needed one. Yeah. And that's when the battery life was, you know, 5 hours or whatever. Yeah. And then I started thinking about, well, that's crazy. Well, then I started thinking, well, I have one. Somewhere. So it's in a cabinet somewhere. I've never used it. I mean, I had it, I guess, if I needed it, but I started realizing the same thing, like, man, you know, and I think a lot of that is it's just the way we hunt, like Hans said. And again, I don't want to get into all this. We've talked about this with other scopes before, but it's how you use it. If you got a handheld, you don't need your scope
that's
on.
True.
If you're riding around the side by side, you don't need your scope on. If you're in the truck, exactly. You know. So anyway, but
yeah,
let's move on. We're running out of time. And
yeah, I know. One thing, your binoculars can be turned on more often than not. But I always tell people,
absolutely.
If my scope goes dead and I'm out hunting, y'all need to send a search party because I'm dead somewhere, you know, if I'm out that long.
Yeah,
you're exactly right.
So let's talk about some likes because we got to get this ball rolling. I think the likes are huge. And again, I think a huge, huge point that I've made, and I'll make it again. This is the XP50 image quality that we're used to. I mean, which is the newest, which is fantastic, amazing image. So if that's what you're looking for, you're going to get it in this unit. I think that the ability to have the daytime function in this scope, and I'm going to say the word only. And I hate to say only because I know it's money, but you're talking about $800 more. You're already spending $5,000. Man, this is the way to do it. I mean, this is really, really nice.
You sound like the car sales guy that's like, well, for $800 more, you can get the matching floor mats with the truck that you want. You
know? Exactly.
Like, not that bad.
Exactly. So I really, really do like the daytime portion. I think that it's worth having if you're going to do any type of daytime hunting. I get a lot of guys that are like, hey, can I use my thermal during the daytime? Well, you can, and it's going to look just like it does at night. This overcomes that. So I really, really like that. I like the, and again, this is generally speaking, we're going to say this about all these Thermion style scopes. Man, the fit. And the finish, the attention to detail, the button layout, the menu system, all the features that Hans was talking about.
Just the fact that it has a lens cover that retracts on the 4K camera is huge. There's some companies that wouldn't even put that on there. You think about the design of just putting that lever on top to close that little thing. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
There's so much, guys, and this is what Pulsar is known for. As Europeans, it's the attention to small detail. And I can tell you one thing. Anybody that holds a Pulsar optic in their hand and they say, this feels cheap, then they've never used any other thermal optic of any brand, of any price, of anything, and I will put that out there. These are amazing. So really like that. Again, as Hans said, the reticles, more reticles than anybody else has, more reticle colors, more color palettes, a 375H nature, a 12-gauge shotgun. 95% of the other optics on the market are not rated for anywhere near that kind of recoil. So again, I know we're saying the battery, we talked about it being a negative. However, guys, 5-6 hours of runtime is still really nice. I do have a removable battery I can pull out. I can stick another one in there. I love having removable batteries. So I think there's a lot of pros to this unit, especially being the first of its kind.
Yeah, I would say, and I'll take it a step further because I'm really good at doing that and sticking my foot in my mouth. I'm even better at doing that. So this is, this is a scope that a lot of you have been asking for. I mean, hundreds of people, and people are like, really, Hans, you've had hundreds of inquiries. Well, I mean, I talk to hundreds of people a week. So you can imagine over the last year, you know, people asking about this, people just saying, man, I just wish, you know, I'm a deer hunter and I like to hang out and stand afterwards. I just wish there was a scope that I could, you know, use during the day and at night. And I always be like, yeah, that'd be nice. And now it's finally here and it's great. I don't feel like it's rushed. I don't feel like, you know, that they are cutting any corners. There are some things that can be improved on, but for the first, and we thought about this before the show, is like, hey, is this the first one, you know, dual channel day, nighttime scope out on the market? We're always afraid to say yes definitively because we always, you know, it always ends up biting us in the butt. But this is the only one I know of right now, and that might be proven wrong. But for this is a big step forward in technology for this industry of being able to have one optic and go out and hunt all day, all night long. All you coyote hunters, 24-hour coyote hunters, all you deer hunters, all you guys out there that consider yourself, you know, mainly a daytime hunter, but hey, you know, now it's legal in your state, or you just want to hang out in the stand afterwards and, you know, see if there's some coyotes or hogs that show up. Your scope is here, man. And I'm going to tell you, yes, coming in at $5,800 is a lot of money, but man, this thing came in a lot less expensive than I thought it was going to be when they first started mentioning this technology. I just, you never know, but I was impressed that it was, you know, only an $800 upgrade. And again, $800 is a lot of money. $5,800 is a lot of money. But there's a lot of value. And this is a great optic, just even for the thermal side alone. I mean, the picture image is fantastic. But to be able to use something during the day and record video with it and record audio, which is one thing I missed in the specs, Jason, video and audio recording, that you can record on both channels, thermal and digital, is awesome. I love recording daytime hunts. I don't get to do it that much, only really during deer season, but it's going to be really cool to have the opportunity to do that. Now, there's a lot of y'all out there, and we're going to wrap up to say, it's your job to sell this, sell scopes. You're on here pumping it up. Well, you're right. It is our job to sell scopes, but it's not my job to sell this scope. We are giving this two big thumbs up, because not just because we're Pulsar fans, we're fans of a lot of different scopes. It just depends on the comparison and the price range. But this is big for the industry. It's another big step forward for Pulsar and, you know, doing a lot to try to drive innovation. And like Jason said, this is an optic that is not going to be leaving our personal rifles anytime soon.
Yeah. So I want to say something here, kind of speaking to that. I don't think, and you know, again, this has been a long review. We've already gone long, but there was a lot of specs and a lot of things to explain and go over. But we're already over. We're already running longer than we want to, so we're not going to stop yet. So I don't think we've given enough fanfare to the fact it really is an amazing step forward in technology. I mean, Hans and I joked about that in the first part of the show, but it really is. And you know, if you go back and you watch, I don't know when, it's probably a year ago, maybe more now, but there was some point in the last year or two, we did a show about what predictions we had for the future of thermal and night vision optics. And we predicted a lot of things. We predicted that there would be high resolution units coming. Well, guess what? That's happened. We now have a 1280 scope on the market. Now Pulsar has announced a, what are they, 1024, whatever, HD, high resolution thermal binoculars, the merger, XLs. Yep. Those are coming. So that's happening. One thing, and I'd have to go back and watch the show, I don't think we predicted this. And it's the mixing of thermal and daytime vision, meaning not fusion. I mean, that's I don't know. I'm not a big fan of fusion. But this is meaning putting two channels. Hey, I've got a daytime scope. I've got a nighttime thermal. Now, we've already had day-night vision scopes, but mixing these together and in this kind of quality, I can tell you, we might have put it in there. I don't know, but I wasn't expecting
to see this. I can't
remember,
but yeah, and I don't know.
I would say, and I'm going to go out. Now, sometimes, Hans, we do this, or I do this. I'm really good at this, making big statements and then going, gosh, I probably wish I hadn't said that. But when I saw this unit for the first time back in October, I said, this is the way of the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first scope like this. And it will not be the last.
I think,
and
this,
I can tell you, I think this is the way of the future.
I think that this may be as common as a scope with video and audio recording to tell. And I think you make a great point. I think that this is going to be, there's going to be guys a year or two from now and be like, well, I don't need all the fancy bells and whistles like, you know, the digital daytime. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to, I think it's going to be that. Yeah. I think it's going to be that standard.
I think we're coming to that. It may take a few years, but I can tell you this is innovation and it fits a need. And even for a guy who maybe says, well, I don't need that. Okay, no problem. I don't need it. I'm just going to go night hunt. Okay. But then he thinks about, yeah, but if I got that gun in the truck and I'm out there and a hog runs out, a coyote runs out, or hey, that big buck runs out. Now, yeah, I could probably shoot him with a thermal, but now I got full color, 4K, beautiful daytime, you know, vision that I can shoot him with. I'm telling you, I do. I think this is good. I think, look, we may be way off on this, but I do. I think it's here to stay. I think there'll be more scopes like this. I think over the years, other manufacturers will follow suit. And I think it's exciting, exciting times. And again, I'm going to say this one more time, but I think... only $800, but there's going to be a lot of guys that have already settled on, you know, the XP50 because they know what it is. They know how good it is. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get all the way down to that and go, so wait a minute, $800 more and I can shoot it in the daytime. I'm already spending $5,000. I'm going to sleep in my truck because my wife's going to kick me out for about a week. So what's $800 more? Yeah, I do think there's going to be a lot of that and a lot, you know, it's legit. It's the real deal. It's really, really nice. And exactly. So, hey, Hans, I know we I think you mentioned this in the specs. I want to be clear. So, as you mentioned that the thermal is a 2-power base mag, but the digital is a 2-power as well. And oh my gosh, there's something huge that we left off. Guys are going to have seen this in the video you've showed. But I can't believe we didn't talk about this, especially in the likes. So, you've seen it, so I'm kind of telling you what you already know. But you can change the daytime. Number one, you can change daytime and nighttime, or daytime and nighttime, daytime and thermal with the push of a button. But you can also have your picture in picture in thermal with the big image in the day. Or you can have the big image in thermal and the picture in picture in day, but vice versa. Any way you want to slice this, or as the question comes up, can I have just thermal and thermal or day and day? Yes. Any way you want to mix and match that between the full screen, the main screen, and the picture in picture. Yes, you can mix that any way you want.
Exactly. And we got some good video that we showed of it too, but yeah, that's a big like. You mentioned earlier, Jason, about, you know, hunting during the day. And I don't remember the last time I shot, you know, a hog or a coyote during the day because I've just we're focused on night hunting. But gosh, if there's the ability to do it, I want to do it. I want to have the scope that can do it. And that's what this is. So we're going to run through this real quick. If you want to buy it, give us a call. If you want to ask questions about it, how it compares to other scopes, give us a call. 877-350-1818. OutdoorLegacyGear.com. You can talk to me. You can talk to Ashley, their salesman. You can talk to Jason, 877-350-1818. Find us on all the socials. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, HansETX. That's H-A-N-S-E-T-X. You can find Ashley on socials right now, at RowETX. Go check that out. And Jason, you can find all of Outdoor Legacy stuff on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, Outdoor Legacy.
All right, guys. Listen, we really appreciate you watching this show. We would love to have your business. So if you're interested, Hans told you how to get a hold of us. You want to support the show. You want to support us. Man, when it comes time to make a purchase, we would love to have your business. That's what keeps these podcasts coming. And we hope that you will. You've enjoyed what you've seen. Hope that you'll come back next week. We'll be back again, good Lord willing, Creek Don't Rise, next week with another great episode. And it will be right here on YouTube. We'll be on all the podcast apps as well. So we hope to see y'all then. But between now and then, y'all stay safe in the fields and keep making those bacon pancakes.